How y'all doing? Don't say sad and weepy. I've cried enough for all of us. First of all, I just want to give you guys a disclaimer. I did not send you an invite if you got an email, okay? You guys have met me numerous times. You know I'm real spicy. I would not send an invite. So just know that was a scam, and I'm so sorry, but I am not having a party. So I felt like I needed to tell you on the top end. First, I just want to thank the best worship team in the world. Give it up for our worship team because they're amazing. They will always have my heart, always. And second, I just want to thank our amazing, amazing staff. They are the top tier of coworkers. They are part of our family. And thank you will truly never be enough. Transition. I hate it. Okay? We did this series, funny enough, in June of 2019. And we had no idea then what the world was then going to become. And so it kind of seemed fitting to reference back to that series. And if you have the opportunity to reference back to that series, I would highly suggest it is so good and it's so full of just wisdom. And Jonathan and I, we find ourselves in this season of transition. And funny enough, it actually started about a year ago. We decided to sell our first house. It was totally in the ghetto. Our neighborhood would flood, like, for no reason. And so you'd be stuck. Sorry, guys, I can't come to work today because flooding. So we got out of there. We moved on up to the east side. And which was awesome. We found a little slice of heaven here in Chesapeake, and we are so thankful. We, you know, back then we decided to make this move, and, you know, in addition to that, we had to put some hard boundaries with some loved ones, and it felt chaotic, but I can't explain the peace that we have felt this last year, just in our home life, where we were. We just, life's good, right? Not too long ago, Jonathan was able to go back to his old job as a supervisor this time, and I'm so, so proud of him. And when he walked into there, I'll never forget, I asked him how his first day was, and he was like, man, it feels like I'm walking back at home. And so we knew he was in the right place. And then there's me. And we have been on staff at Essential for 11 years. We've been here for 12 years. And Jonathan actually technically has been on staff longer than me because when he first started, his job was to develop our youth worship team. And so he's technically, and also I'd like to say that I've tried to fire him several times over the years, and Pastor Steve will not let me fire him. So we'll just leave that there. But I would say that the Lord started stirring things up late last year for me. And truthfully, I started to feel very uncomfortable. And I thought at first it was because I wasn't resting enough. And I've shared from the stage a couple different times. I have a lot of health struggles. I have autoimmune stuff going on. And so with that comes a lot of chronic body pain. And so I started noticing that my pain level was happening more frequently. And I was hurting a lot more often. And of course, being the person that I am, we're just going to power through. We're going to make it happen. And you can do that for only so long. And then it becomes a real challenge. And I think my friends were starting to notice that I would have to cancel more often. There's a lot of things that I have a lot of names within all of my adopted babies. And so, you know, Auntie Toots can't come. Auntie Gandalf can't come. Ape Ape can't come. You know, all the things. And that really weighs on me. It's less about the parents, as you know, I am not here to break no baby's heart. It hurts me. And so I started noticing that. Matter of fact, one of my best friends said to me a while ago, she said, I came over, and she said, whew, this one's going to be hard. I miss the old April. And I looked at her, and I said, yeah, I miss her too. And I don't know where she is. That's why Defender is so important to me. If you guys haven't noticed, that part that says, when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. And so I've been trying to find, with God's help, where did I leave me? And that's hard. But I kept pressing on, as you would do. And I pushed harder on my stricter bedtimes. Everybody knows that I'm in bed at 7:30. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I did all the things, but the weight of life seemed to press down on me a lot heavier. Here at church, we had announced our plans for the building, and a lot of you guys know that is something I have been very vocal about. I really want a new building, really bad. And we have plotted and planned in the back with Bob, I'll put your name out there, several times to burn this building to the ground. Just want to let it be known. But even in that, it felt even heavier. We moved into this year, and I started to crumble. Crying most days to my husband, to my besties, my coworkers, and my therapist, both of which are sitting on the front row this morning, who I love dearly. But what I didn't realize at that time was that God, he was really starting to move me. And I say God because, guys, I didn't want to move. I love what I do on stage. But I have to be very honest with you and tell you that that's about 5% of what I actually do. And the 95% sometimes really sucks. And Pastor Steve and I have definitely talked about this a lot. That's why the Lord has cursed working. And it sometimes feels that way. It's not you guys, per se. Kidding. Totally kidding. But there is a weight of ministry that very few people will truly ever understand. Crisis doesn't happen 9 to 5. When you get a call on a Saturday morning that someone has passed away. When you get a call that says, can you come and pray with my mom because she's going to heaven. When one of your very best friends in the entire world almost dies from COVID. You sit in that hospital for 86 days. Not because I'm great, but because we serve a great God. And we believed in the power of prayer, and we still do. But that chips at the very part of you. It chips away at something that I can't really explain. It hurts. It hurts when I see you cry. It hurts when I see you hurting. And as much as we try to leave that there, there is always a peace that comes with me. So I started praying. And I started talking with wise counsel. And there was a lot more crying. Why? Why is crying so terrible? I hate it. Ugh. And I am the biggest sympathy crier, so every time, weepy. And God started speaking to the very core of me. And it was very quiet. And it was very still. He shouted at me a lot in the past, trust me. But this was a very gentle nudging. This was very, very quiet. And it was almost to the point of where you had to be very still in order to hear it. And I will never forget this. I was sitting in a session with Ron. And he said, April, I think you already know the answer, but you're just too afraid to say it out loud. More stupid tears. Gosh. But then, there was a floodgate of peace that poured out. Following that was more tough conversations. But yet they were each filled with peace. Telling people that you love, that you need to step away, is probably the hardest thing I've had to do in a really long time. In a really long time. You know, I've shared from this stage before that Jonathan and I aren't able to have children. And so you kind of look at that and you go, okay, what does my life look like without the title of mom? And maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you've held on to a title. Maybe it's dad. Maybe it's mom. Maybe it's provider. I've got to be the fixer. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. That is not your identity. That is a part of you. But your identity is only found in Jesus Christ. Your identity is only found in the one that created you. So what does my life look like without the mom title? Well, I became a pastor. I became somebody that could help, love, and cherish you guys. And it's been hard, but the most rewarding part of my life. No sniffing, because that means you're crying. Kidding. And that is an honor I will take with me in this next chapter. The Bible says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. So what the world claims to be peace, that's not what Jesus offers. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Change is scary. And maybe you're going through a transition phase. And maybe this feels like a transition phase for you. And that's okay. I'm still here. We still live here. We're not moving out of the state. I need to say this publicly, we are not going to another church. I am not working at another church. That's definitely not happening. I told Steve this very specifically. I said, if I can't do ministry with the staff here, I'm not doing it. And I mean that. Because these people, you guys in this room, you have my heart. And the memories that I have, they're way better than whatever could be. That's how I feel right now. Maybe he'll change my mind, I don't know. But that Bible verse, that's his promise. And y'all have heard me say that during many, many songs. That's his promise. That's his promise. And I have to be really honest with you guys. It's not always for you when I'm shouting that. Sometimes it's for me. Lord, let, yet again, remind me who you say I am. Remind me once again that your grace is enough. So a lot of times, I'm preaching to myself. So as I think about this next season, not just for me, but for you, I am reminded of the numerous times that God has called for a transition. The obvious one is when the Israelites were moving out of Egypt. You know, and at first they were like, cool, yay, we're doing it, you saved us. But quickly, they started to complain. And they ended up walking in the desert for 40 years because they decided they didn't want to change. The idea was nice, but it was way too much work. Please, Lord, I don't want that to be me. And I pray that over you as well. I want to walk in obedience. As scary as that is, I want to walk in his obedience. I want to trust that he has good plans for me. Just like that song says. It's not just a catchy tune. He has good plans for me and for you. Sometimes God calls us into transitional periods of time because he sees who we currently are, but he knows who we are to become. Saul to Paul, Abram to Abraham. He totally just changes their names. He transforms their identity. He makes the change because they may have never done it. I can tell you with all certainty, I did not think I would be up here telling you this today. I never would have thought it in a million years. I thought I was going to be buried under this building after I burnt it. God declares what he sees versus what the world sees. And owning that change allowed them to move into a higher purpose. I don't believe that they would be in the Bible if they hadn't been able to transition and change. It would have just been another flopperouski. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that God has a plan. He has a plan for Essential. He has a plan for me, and he definitely has a plan for you guys. My notes say, and I believe this, this isn't the end. It's a new beginning. It is a new beginning. I shared this verse at a wedding recently, and I'm pretty sure the happy couple will be in second service. It's Isaiah 43:18. Through 19. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We, all of us, will at some point step out into the wilderness. Whatever that looks like for you. And God's word says that he will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Will you trust him to lead the way? I'm going to give myself a few extra minutes because Jonathan and I are going to sing one last time. And I probably shouldn't have said it that way because now I'm trying to not be weepy again. So will you guys join with me as we close? Father God, we know that you have good plans. And so, God, I ask, I pray that you would begin to reveal those good plans to the very depths of our hearts, to the very bottoms of our soul. God, that we would know, that we would know, that we would know that you are so good, that you love us, that you have good things for your children. And Lord, this morning, we pray that you would be lifted up over all of the things. No matter what, no matter what we've done, no matter who we've become, Lord, you say that we are yours. We hang on to that truth this morning. It's in your beautiful name we pray. Amen.